From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a focused look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today on Deadline is blazing a trail as we look at the reclassification of marijuana. Last week, the Biden administration announced that it's passing forward its plans to reclassify the substance. Currently, marijuana is classified as a Schedule 1 drug, which the Drug Enforcement Administration defines as a drug with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Other Schedule 1 drugs include heroin, LSD, and ecstasy. However, through a reclassification, marijuana could soon be considered a Schedule 3 drug, defined as a drug with a remote to low potential for physical and psychological dependence. Other Schedule 3 drugs include ketamine, anabolic steroids, and testosterone. The decision to reschedule marijuana is a major step forward for activists looking to legalize the substance, not only for medical use, but also for recreational use. Recreational use of marijuana is already legal in 24 states, with more taking up the issue this election cycle. What would reclassifying the drug do in states where it's still illegal to use? Attorney Vince Lewowski joined Odyssey this month to share more on what could happen if the Justice Department's rescheduling proposal is approved.
Why reclassifying weed? Why is that such a big deal right now when it seems so many states have already opened their doors to cannabis and weed and made it legal within the confines of their state for medical and, in some cases, recreational now?
Yeah, the reason this is a big deal is there's still a lack of congruence between state and federal law. And despite the fact that the states have rolled out all of these programs and treat cannabis very differently than the federal regime still matters. And it matters on important issues like federal taxation when marijuana supposedly goes to Schedule 3 in the next year or so. These cannabis companies operating at the state levels won't have to pay as oppressive amounts of income tax as they have to pay. And it matters for other important reasons like access to research for scientists. Scientists are able to research Schedule 3 drugs and specifically marijuana a lot more easily than if it were placed on Schedule 1. Those are the two more prominent examples. There are other things too, but it's kind of a seismic change for a lot of industry.
Now, when we go from something that is a Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, how dramatically different is that? I mean, my understanding is, like, Schedule 1 doesn't feel like marijuana ever belonged in that or cannabis in that category. How did it get there to begin with?
Well, it got there back in the 1970s, and it was part of the big, you know, war on drugs push under the Nixon administration. And, you know, there's a lot of documentary evidence that has since come out that he was targeting certain people that he didn't like with the extreme criminalization of marijuana, such as counterculture people, black people, et cetera. So it got placed somewhere it never should have been over, you know, objections by scientists and other people. And I'm not sure if Schedule 3 is the right place for it. I'm not a scientist, but certainly better than Schedule 1. So hopefully that's where we're headed.
So what does Schedule 3 then tell us? What does that denote? Is it what other kind of drugs are in that that are more accessible or are not as dangerous as cannabis was once considered?
Yeah, so I should explain this quickly. Under federal law, the Federal Controlled Substances Act, there are five schedules of controlled substances. And those are from one, the most dangerous, and that's where marijuana is, but may soon leave. And it's up there right now with fentanyl and all sorts of things that can kill you really fast. And then it goes all the way down to Schedule 5, which is drugs with the least amount of control. And then we have other substances in this country that aren't even scheduled, even though they're shown to have poor health effects, like, you know, tobacco and alcohol being the most prominent examples. So these drugs on the schedules, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, are only available via a prescription from a medical doctor with a DEA license. And Schedule 1 drugs aren't even that, but Schedule 2, 3, 4, and 5 are. When marijuana goes to 3, it's going to be there with a bunch of other drugs that you can't get except for through a prescription with your doctor normally, like anabolic steroids and codeine and certain kinds of Tylenol. Those are all Schedule 3 drugs. And what people should understand, and it's kind of funny to think about, is we'll still have this regime of all these states having legalized something and this marijuana drug being sold at storefronts, despite the fact that it's still federally legal, it's just on Schedule 3. So you can think about how strange it would be if all these other Schedule 3 drugs were being sold at storefronts, like if you could walk into a shop here in Oregon where I am and buy anabolic steroids or walk into a codeine store. That's where marijuana is going to be as a matter of law federally.
The push to reschedule marijuana comes as President Joe Biden looks to reduce the number of offenders serving time for personal possession of drugs. In a video shared to social media, Biden discussed the rescheduling proposal, saying, "Too many lives have been upended because of our failed approach to marijuana." Look, folks, no one should be in jail for merely using or possessing marijuana, period, he said. "Far too many lives have been upended because of a failed approach to marijuana, and I'm committed to righting those wrongs." For more on those wrongs and the way the government has approached marijuana that Biden mentioned, David Downs, the senior editor at Leafly, joined Odyssey to dig into this complicated history.
Can you, in a nutshell, just describe the evolution of the public feel about marijuana over the past 50 years? As you say, it's been a long battle to try and reduce some of the misconceptions about marijuana, correct?
It's been a long, strange trip to march to the center of Main Street of America. You have President Biden, who used to be really tough on crime, who's going to go down in the history books as Dink Brandon, who rescheduled weed. This was something hippies talked about in San Francisco in the 70s. They said, there's medicinal uses here. This isn't that dangerous. They were considered fringe at the time. Today, marijuana legalization polls at 70%, according to Gallup. Medical marijuana polls at 90%. You can't even get 90% in favor of clean water. Everybody's asking what's taking the federal government so long, but they're our biggest institution, so of course they move the slowest with regard to changing the law.
Do you believe that if it's approved and that it becomes a Schedule 3, that it'll allow pot shops to actually enter the federal banking system and reduce their targets by thieves?
Yes. Cannabis licensees are paying multiple times the average plus monthly fees just to interact with the banking system. They have far fewer options. They don't get to shop around and have the same kind of competition as a normal business. So that's going to be a big effect for them.
What happens to the Fed and state crackdown on illegal growers if marijuana is created into a Schedule 3 instead of a Schedule 1?
President Biden says that nobody who's using or possessing marijuana simply should be in jail for prison. That's some particular language. The federal government and state government is interested in people flouting the law at a large scale, avoiding taxes, creating environmental impacts, selling marijuana where it's not appropriate. The federal government in general is more focused on fentanyl, but the states are also trying to do their best to swat back some of this illicit market activity. Of course, the best way to drain the illicit market is to give people a valid alternative, and Schedule 3 will help speed that along.
Still, there are those who continue to raise concerns about marijuana and its potential for being a gateway drug. A report from the American Addiction Centers from earlier this year found that marijuana is now the third most used substance in the U.S. behind alcohol and tobacco. The report found that Americans are trying substances even sooner in life than ever before, with 47.5% saying they first tried marijuana in high school and 28.9% who first tried it in college. And it's not just that more people are using marijuana. That report found that more went on to try other drugs, like hallucinogens, cocaine, and more. However, with the reclassification, the drug would be studied and researched more in order to identify concrete medical benefits. KCBS political analyst Mark Sandelow joined Odyssey to share more on what reclassification of this drug would mean.
24 states at this point have recreational marijuana legal. I think it's 38 states have medicinal marijuana legal. But federally, it is still against the law. And while you don't see, you know, feds walking around the streets of San Francisco, you know, busting people for getting high, there are big repercussions for it being illegal federally, including the fact that if you run a business, a cannabis business, you can't deduct your expenses under federal taxes, which means you're paying a whole lot more. It also means because of this Schedule 1 designation, you can't test it on people. You can, but very, very regimented, and it's very difficult because Schedule 1, by definition, means that this is a drug that has no benefits and is deemed as very, very dangerous. By rescheduling it to Schedule 3, which is what Biden has proposed to do. It will not make it federally legal, but what it does mean is that you will be able to, you know, start having tests on people, human trials. I mean, right now they do all these things, all these health studies on marijuana, and they send out surveys and they ask people questions. As we know, people are not terribly honest about their consumption habits and about their healthy habits. So here they'll be able to give people, you know, control tests with placebos and different levels of cannabis and be able to test them. It also means that at level three, the businesses are going to start to be able to deduct it from their taxes, and that will change the business considerably. What it won't do is make it legal across the country. But certainly this is why marijuana stocks, the people who produce it this week, have soared.
Seems like we've been talking about this for a long time. How long could this reclassification process take?
Years, Marie. I mean, this is something where you have to propose it, and then there's a 90-day feedback period, and that has to go through another review. So this could take a while, but I mean, this could take, you know, a year, maybe a couple years. But this is a monumental shift in that. It's remarkable when you think about when the federal government has said that it is still illegal federally because there are laws on the books, but California makes it legal. So why is it, for example, when California makes abortion legal, that's something that the federal government doesn't have a problem with? And what the Supreme Court has held is that the Interstate Commerce Clause means that if California legalizes it, there are implications for the price of marijuana in other states, and therefore the federal government has a right to come into California and enforce its laws over California laws. Some people think this is just so far-fetched. Remarkably, I was just looking up the places that smoke more marijuana than any place else. Assuming that the Bay Area would be near the top of that list, I was wrong. Not even on the top 10. In fact, per capita, there's a couple places in Connecticut, a couple places in West Virginia that are way, way more heavy consumptions per capita than San Francisco. I'll tell you, there still is a difference. As somebody who's lived on the East Coast, walking the streets of Washington, D.C. does not smell the same as walking the streets of San Francisco. It is still a drug which is much more popular in places like the Bay Area than it is on the East Coast.
Whether marijuana is reclassified or not, one thing is for certain. Americans' viewpoint on weed and cannabis use is changing. In 2023, Gallup found in its annual Consumption Habits Survey that 17% of Americans reported that they smoked weed. Just a decade ago, when pollsters first started asking the question, that figure was just 7%. But our attitudes go just beyond those who use it. The annual poll also found that attitudes towards legalizing marijuana have done a 360 over the last six decades. In 1969, only 12% of people said they supported legalizing it. Last year, 70% did. With more and more Americans growing comfortable with the idea of marijuana use, it seems like it's only a matter of time until more states, possibly all of them, make it legal across the board. So, even if you don't see much marijuana in your state right now, it could be headed there in the future. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.